In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
Please be seated.
Good morning, Latin scholars. O Diet Amo, Catullus, I hate and I love. Or the fuller poem, 85, of Catullus. O Diet Amo, quae faciam fortasa requiris nescio, sed fieri sentio et excrucior. Don't you love the sound of Latin? Well, I had to study it for years, so I love it now. The translation, of course, is, I hate and I love. Why do I do this, perhaps you ask? I do not know, but I feel it happening and I am tortured. We live in a world filled with hatred and love. And the spiritual warfare within us is at work in this structure, as in this struggle, as captured by that famous Latin poet Catullus. Just take a good listen to our political life and media commentators. The stock and trade of modern life seems to be invested in venting the spleen. What we once prized by way of verbal restraint in our political and public discourse is now largely gone by way of our Twitter accounts and Facebook posts. And so today I wish to address the issue of hatred, particularly as it has recently manifested itself in last week's defacing of one of our own sacred spaces at St. James Church in Bozeman. A swastika and 666 defaced a church sign. And yet, thank God, the neighbors covered over what had been written with figures representing red hots and love. Odi et amo. I hate and I love. But before I get into all that, please allow me to thank you and God and modern medicine for delivering me from a rather frightening episode last week. For as some of you know, I suffered a brain bleed and had to be transported by helicopter to Great Falls, where a neurosurgeon could evaluate my condition on my birthday. Thankfully, the bleed was a small one and could be treated with medication. And so here I am, back in your midst. My dear friend, Bishop Frank, stopped by after an Episcopal visitation and asked which psalm I wanted him to pray for me. Of course, I thought immediately of Psalm 46. I recite the Psalms daily because they are the prayer book of Jesus. And I like to pray like Jesus. So, my friend prayed these words. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be moved, and though the mountains be toppled into the depths of the sea, though its waters rage and foam, and though the mountains tremble at its tumult. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Be still then, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us, and the God of Jacob is our stronghold. Cindy and I stood close, hand in hand, as he prayed these words, and I can only begin to describe what I experienced as God's own healing touch and grace. The bishop also offered to operate, if necessary. He charges only $29.99 and has a perfectly serviceable Black and Decker ready to go. Thank you so much for your love, your prayers, your support for me and for Cindy. But to the back now to the issue at hand, this business of hatred, it's an infection of the human heart. It's a terminal disease. Our tradition has much to teach us on the subject. It begins with the notion of love, doesn't it? When it comes time for God to lay down the law after all that wonderful going on, the parting of the Red Sea and the bringing of the children of Israel out of bondage in Egypt to the freedom, the promised land. What did he say? Time now to lay down the law, you people. Shema, the Hebrew word. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. That's number one. So a lawyer once asked Jesus, "What's your reading of the law?" A common question in rabbinical tradition. In other words, how do you understand the law as God gives it to us through Moses? Jesus knew all about that, didn't he? Scripture teaches us that Jesus is the Word made flesh and that he was there in the beginning with God. Therefore, he was there too with Moses as he fashioned the law. Yes? So Jesus begins with the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one, and you shall love the Lord your God. But then he does an interesting thing. His mind searches all of Scripture in a moment. It makes its way through the first 19 chapters of Leviticus, if you've ever read them, in which you may find scores of reasons to stone people to death for one kind of abomination or another. Instead of picking out any of that, Jesus' heart, soul, mind, and strength comes to rest on what word? If you said love, bravo. Look what he does. He quotes one half of one verse buried in the 19th chapter and says, the second commandment is just like the first. You shall love your neighbor as you do yourself. That's, for those of you who want to look it up, Leviticus 19:18b. We know this as the summary of the law, or as Jesus makes clear, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. This is an extraordinary statement. Here Jesus puts the love of God and the love of human beings on par. And he requires we do too. Not easy, right? Not an easy thing. It's easier to love God than it is each other, right? In some circles right now, there are those who would just as soon do neither. Then, moreover, in Judaism, as in all tribal society, foreigners are looked on with suspicion. There were foreigners in those days. Can you imagine? My grandmother used to say it was the Irish who ruined Boston. That'll tell you what she thought of my dad, especially after that divorce. Then she also made me promise on the family Bible, no less, that I would never marry an Italian. I promised. And then later I broke that promise. But my grandmother understands all this now, doesn't she? The prophet Isaiah deals with the issue of foreigners and goes one better than that. He spells out the place of eunuchs in God's salvation plan as well. Listen to this. Maintain justice. Do what is right. Do not let the foreigner join to the Lord say, "The Lord will surely separate me from his people." And do not let the eunuch say, "Behold, I am a dry tree." For thus says the Lord to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, "I will give in my house and within my walls a monument and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall never be cut off. And of the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord and minister to him and love the name of the Lord, these I will bring to my holy mountain. And I will make them joyful in my house of prayer, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. Thus says the Lord, who gathers the outcasts of Israel, I will gather others to them besides those already gathered." Isaiah 56. Now I will submit to you that when Jesus walked the earth, there were no outcasts. Instead, what was there? There was love. What was there? There was forgiveness, compassion. And Jesus took that deadly disease of hatred that infects the human heart and nailed it to the cross. And so must we. Now that's my reading of the law. It is clear from today's parable of the unjust servant that he owed what amounts to a couple of million dollars to the king. He was forgiven his debt. Yet, when it was his turn to forgive, he showed no mercy to the one who owed him a couple of dollars. We have been forgiven bountifully by God. Likewise, we too must forgive. You know the answer to the gospel question. How many times must I forgive my brother or my sister? This is the human condition. Odi et amo. I hate and I love. But on that last night, when gathered at supper with his friends, he washed their feet and he said, "I give you a new commandment. A brand new commandment. Love one another." Our bishop has written of this hateful incident in Bozeman, and I quote, "As people who have been baptized into the death and resurrection of Christ, we need to die to racism, hatred, bigotry, and rise in newness of life to the love of God and the love of neighbor. We are called to pray for the perpetrators of violence and hatred and work in our communities for an inbreaking of the merciful reign of God, to repent of our racism and lack of acceptance of others who differ from us, and to make ourselves instrument of God's peace." Unquote. So whoever you are now, you and I need the courage of Jesus to love one another without regard to tribal affiliation, race, ethnicity, gender, orientation, a political party, and on and on and on. How often does Jesus have to say this for us to get it? Love one another. Several weeks ago, I shared with you the image of the American bald eagle. There are those of us on the left wing of that magnificent symbol of our common life, and others of us on the right. If we hate one another, that bird is in trouble and cannot even get up off the ground. For example, if I were to say the words, let me warn you, I'm going to say some words. I'm going to say Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. I told you I was going to say some words, didn't I? See, I would wager you that by saying those names, I inspired in you some animus. That's a problem. We hate too much in this country. We have forgotten how to hold conversation. We've reduced our national discourse to confrontation and ridicule and racism, and on and on and on. We have forgotten the law of God, and so it is time to reclaim it and proclaim it. Because my namesake, Paul, in today's epistle, makes it clear, why do you despise your brother or your sister? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God, as it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So then, each of us will be accountable before God. You and I are to love one another at this cathedral, and we shall be called a house of prayer for all people. Not because I say so, but because Jesus says so. Period. In the name of God, the most holy, undivided, and everlasting Trinity. Amen.
Brothers and sisters, let us stand and declare our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. The Creed is found on page 358. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty.